The order of march was as last night, with Maledict going on ahead. The clouds were holding in some heat, and were thin enough to hint at moonlight here and there. Forests by night held no problems for Polly anyway, and this wasn't true wild forest in any case. Nor was it, in truth, a march that they were doing. It was more like a high-speed creep in ones and twos. She'd acquired two of the horse bows, now stuck awkwardly between the straps of her pack. They were horrible things, rather like a cross between a small crossbow and a clock. There were mechanisms in the thick shaft, and the bow itself was barely 6 inches across. Somehow, if you leaned your weight on it, you could cock it with enough stored energy to fire a nasty little metal arrow through an inch-thick plank. They were blued metal, sleek and evil. But there is an old military saying, "Better me firing it at you than you firing it at me, you bastard." Polly eased her way along the line until she was walking alongside Igor. He nodded to her in the gloom, and then turned his attention to walking. He needed to, because his pack was twice the size of the rest of them. No one felt inclined to ask him what was in it. Sometimes you thought you could hear liquid sloshing. Igors sometimes passed through Munns, although technically they were an abomination in the eyes of Nuggan. It had seemed to Polly that using bits of someone who was dead to help three or four other people stay alive was a sensible idea. But in the pulpit, Father Jupe had argued that Nuggan didn't want people to live. He wanted them to live properly. There had been general murmurs of agreement from the congregation, but Polly knew for a fact that there were a couple of people sitting there with a hand or arm or leg that was a little less tanned or a little more hairy than the other one. There were lumberjacks everywhere in the mountains. Accidents happened. Fast, sudden accidents. And, since there were not many jobs for a one-armed lumberjack, men went off and found an Igor to do what no amount of prayer could manage. The Igors had a motto. What goes around comes around. You didn't have to pay them back. You had to pay them forward. And that, frankly, was the bit where people got worried. When you were dying, an Igor would mysteriously arrive on the doorstep and request that he be allowed to take away any bits urgently needed by others on his little list. He'd be quite happy to wait until the priest had gone, and it was said, when the time came, he'd do very neat work. However, it happened quite often that when an Igor turned up, the prospective donor took fright and turned to Nuggan, who liked whole people. In which case, the Igor would quietly and politely leave and never come back. He'd never come back to the whole village, or the whole lumber camp, nor would other Igors. What goes around, comes around, or stops. As far as Polly could tell, Igors believed that the body was nothing more than a more complicated kind of clothing. Oddly enough, that's what Nugganites thought too. "Glad you joined, Igor," said Polly as they jogged along. "Yeth, Oz. Could you take a look at the Rupert's hand next time we stop, please? He cut it badly." "Yeth, Oz." "Can I ask you something, Igor?"
"Yeth, Oz."
"What are female Igors called, Igor?" Igor stumbled and kept moving. He was silent for a while and then said,
"All right, what did I do wrong?"
"Sometimes you forget to lisp," said Polly, "but mostly it's just a feeling. Little things about the way you move, maybe."
"The word you're looking for is Igorina," said Igorina. "We don't lisp as much as the boys. It's a style thing."
They continued in more silence until Polly said, "I thought it was bad enough cutting my hair."
"The stitches," said Igorina. "I can have them out in 5 minutes. They're just for show."
Polly hesitated, but after all, Igors had to be trustworthy, didn't they? "You didn't cut your hair?"
"Actually, I just removed it," said Igorina.
"I put mine in my pack," Polly went on, trying not to look at the stitches around Igorina's head.
"So did I," said Igorina. "In a jar. It's still growing."
Polly swallowed. You needed a lack of graphic imagination to talk about personal issues with an Igor. "Mine was stolen back at the barracks. I'm sure it was Strappy," she said.
"Oh, dear.
I hate to think of him with it."
"Why did you bring it?"
And that was the question. She'd planned. And she'd been good at planning. She'd fooled the rest of them, even. She'd been cool and sensible, and she hadn't felt more than a faint pang at cutting off her hair. And she'd brought it with her.
Why? She could have thrown it away.